and welcome to the All Japan Women's Destiny podcast. I'm your host, JD. Welcome to another episode as we go through the history of All Japan Women's Professional Wrestling through the classics episodes that you can find on various places of the internet. I vastly encourage to follow along and learn and enjoy the history of this just awesome women's wrestling promotion of the past. This is a spin-off in conjunction with the Red Leaf Retrocast. That is the proper episode where these come from. It is myself and Kay running through the history of All Japan Women. And these episodes, we hope you enjoy our audio and our discussions over the various wrestlers and the matches in which you go through the ages. If you like what you hear and you want more content, please consider checking out the Patreon. That is patreon.com/redleafretrocast, all one word, where we also cover LLPW, Kay covers JD Star, various other women's wrestling promotions of the past, and the project that the whole reason it exists is the Joshi 2010s journey, where we go through coming out of the dark ages of Joshi professional wrestling and really learning and having fun with wrestlers that we're very familiar with to this day, to ones that we may have missed out on. I hope you enjoy the audio you're about to hear covering AJW. And if you want more, please, again, consider signing up to the Patreon and leaving us reviews over at iTunes, Spotify, and the like, all your favorite podcasting outlets in which you listen to AJW and the Red Leaf Retrocast. Enjoy. And welcome to the All Japan Women Destiny section of this podcast. And obviously, where would I be without reintroducing myself? Because there are a lot of listeners here that only listen on the AJW Destiny feed or skip all the way to the retro section here on the podcast proper, Red Leaf Retrocast. Thank all for joining. It's time for Retro Wrestling, All Japan Women Classics that you can find in various Google Drives. Samurai TV is where they air. Puroso Dream is kind of where everyone gets theirs. It's episode 62. We're in August of 1992. The Japan Grand Prix is nearing its conclusion, but not before we get through a nice little build show with evil Akira Hokuto coming into her Dangerous Queen form on an August 13th show. And then the excellent Midsummer Typhoon show on August 15th, 1992, the annual big show from All Japan Women. And before I get into that, consider leaving us a nice little review on the Spotify. You know, click whatever star rating you want. Head on over to iTunes and you leave us a nice little review. There was a period of time where we went through a change and we lost about like 30, 40 reviews over there on iTunes. So you would really help us out. You get those reviews back up. And if you like the retro women's wrestling, consider the Patreon, patreon.com/redleafretrocast, where we do the Joshi 2010s journey. I just put out an episode over JWP from 2011 with a main event of Haley Hatred versus Kaori Yonayama, JWP Pure Slam 2011. A lot of good stuff on that show. A lot of talent starting to be elevated in the scene. We'll see how long-term that works out. And obviously, I do LLPW reviews. And I'm in 1993 in that promotion, and we're quickly approaching that here on the Classics. So here we go. August 13th, 1992, we got a tag match. Saki Asagawa and Mariko Yoshida takes on Akira Hokuto and Toshio Yamada. A team that don't like each other. This is part of the Daily Sports. No, I'm sorry. God, I'm mixing up my JWP stuff. This is part of the Fuji TV Tag Tournament. This was. And the whole shtick of the tournament is it's essentially, what's that gimmick from WCW? Lethal Lottery, I think that's what it is. Random drawing tag teams, and you're all kind of put together coincidentally enough. Ha ha ha. So, Hokuto and Yamada don't like each other. They're not getting along because Hokuto is a bad bitch these days, and she's got her big wooden kendo sword deal, and she's all about hitting bitches, taking names, and giving those names to LCO. And Yamada, she's a woman of honor. She just wants to kick ass and take those names for herself. No cheating. So where does that leave poor Mariko Yoshida, who's bandaged up more than Akira Hokuto at this point in time, the mummy version 2 over here with Yoshida, and Saki Hasegawa, the woman who spams more buttons than a Tekken character? Well, it doesn't last long. Akira Hokuto hits the ring after Saki Hasegawa does her jumping heel kick spam, where she does like 10 of them in a row. And Hokuto proceeds to ruin this woman. They do what looks to be a concussion angle, where it was Hokuto just beats her up so bad that Hasegawa, it's called off. Hasegawa is injured. Not going to happen. Hokuto's like, all right, I'm done. I'm out of here. I did my job. And she beefs it out with LCO to the back. Sword and all. And Yamada's all confused. She's pissed. She like barely got in the match. And she kind of hightails it. Yoshida gets on the mic and she demands a restart for honor. You're not going to take a win like that. The ref stop. It's just nonsense. It's straight out of the 80s booking for AJW. Hokuto and Yamada eventually make their way back. Yamada gets on the apron. Hokuto gets in the ring. And there's like three hope spots from Yoshida. And Hokuto beats the hell out of her. Northern Light bomb. Pins her ass out of here. Yamada is furious. She wasn't even like in the match at all. She just stood there on the apron. It looks like it was a singles match between the two, Hokuto and Yoshida. It's just business for Hokuto. We're out of here. She doesn't want anything to do with Toshio Yamada. And it kind of goes into a rivalry that's going on in the Grand Prix at this time, because Yoshida's getting a lot of points at this point in time. Yamada is high on the table, and Hokuto is kind of like 50-50. She's up, she's down, she's up, she's down. The main people that you are seeing is like Aja Kong, and unfortunately Bison Kimura is essentially no longer in the promotion. She got injured, and we'll get into a certain couple wrestlers here that are really starting to kind of fill that gap where Bison Kimura used to be. So nice little angle there. And that brings us into the Midsummer Typhoon Show, August 15th, 1992, at a packed Korakuen Hall. I couldn't find an exact attendance, but it sure looked like to be like a Cap 2000 level set, where they're just filed in like sardines. And I watched, so you can find this entire show via a YouTube channel where it was a full television broadcast of the entire show. It was like 2.5 hours. And the beginning of this card is very quick and easy to describe. We got an opening like rookie match. It's Class of 91 versus Class of 90. Chikako Hasegawa and Ri Tamada defeat Akemi Torisu and Seimei Numata. Three of these four people amount to nothing. Don't even worry about them. It's a six-minute match of nothing. Ri Tamada goes over to Arsian and becomes like a mid-card wrestler. So that's as best we got. Tamada, I guess the shocking part is the Class of 91 beat their elders. If you want to put it that way. Ri Tamada is the only one with like any potential out of this batch. Kumiko Maekawa and Tomoko Watanabe, Team Karate, over here, 8.5 minutes these two go. They have the task of facing Miyori Kamiya and Terry Powers. Oh, Terry Powers, she's back. Oh, she is so much fun. This was a phenomenal watch. And not in the good way. Like, Terry Powers looks like she is the beast incarnate, the beast from the east. one minute, and the next minute, she would have every 1970s, 80s commentator going, she's exposing the business. It's dying. Murakamiya has like Incredible Hulk green face paint all on her, and she screams like a banshee. That's her shtick. She screams, then she does a suplex. She screams, and she does like a boot. It's quite comical. Kamiya and Terry Powers win this match, but there's only one spot I want to talk about, and that's... Okay, two. The minute Terry Powers looks good is when she first hits the ring, obliterates her enemies with three crazy-ass lariats, and the crowd buys the near fall. There's also a nice wheelbarrow into a full Nelson suplex hold, where the crowd pop from the strength. And then Kami gets in the ring a little while. Mikawa and Tomoko do their thing. And then Terry Powers hits the ring again. And she ducks over the double clothesline attempt from Mei and Tomoko. And instead of, as you would think, run the ropes and clothesline them both on the rebound, she kind of stops, obliterates Mikawa with a bad lariat, like right to the side of her head. She rolls to the outside, and the camera looks at her, and it looks like Terry Powers is going to do a fucking, like, tope con hero. Instead, what happens is Terry Powers jumps, she leaps, she goes over the top, and her stomach falls on it. She goes ass over tea kettle, lands ass first on the apron, and the crowd and myself just go, ah! Oh, I love it. I love you, Terry Powers. I love you so much. Kaorito defeats Bat Yoshinaga in 9 minutes. This was awful. Bat Yoshinaga, like, kicks her a bunch, and then Ito fights back, hits some double foot stomps, and wins. So Ito, the commentary, you can hear them touting Ito, new member of Jungle Jack. Looks like she's in for a little push. She is not the Ito that you think she is yet. She's very much still in shape and maybe has potential. I don't know. She's still pretty bad in 1992, and Bat Yoshinaga is no exception. Now we get into the meat of the card. The meat, baby. Tag team match here. Meltzer gave this sucker 4.5 stars. Now, I looked in the Observer of this time period in 1992, and this is when Meltzer went over for a 2.5 week span over to Japan. He went to like 15 wrestling shows. He went to a JWP show. He went to where he touted the Devil Masami match. He went to this show, the Midsummer Typhoon, where he claims the, at the time, the hair versus hair match we're about to go over tonight is the best match he ever saw live. I think that's changed at this point in time. He went to a couple All Japan shows. I think one was at Budokan. He went to a New Japan show. And then he went to a various like Wing and Wrestling and Romance show, which he touted as one of the worst live experiences he ever went to, which was a very funny read, where it like starts off with a like 45-minute Q&A with Tenryu. And then there's like really bad, boring matches afterward. It's a funny read. Anyways, I digress. So he gives this match 4.5 stars. He gives the Fuji Tag Team Tournament final match 4 stars, and he gives the main event a full 5, baby. And I'm actually going to flip a couple of these star ratings. I give all of these matches 3 stars, by the way. I loved what I saw. So it's Kyoko Inoue, Yoshida and Takako Inoue teaming up. So we get a little double Inoue action. And they're kind of talking about it on commentary. Not really. They're teaming up more in 1992. We have seen it. But they're not labeled as double Inoue yet. That's key. And they're taking on LCO members Etsuko Mita and Mima Shimoda. And Cynthia Moreno, she's back. What kept this match from being great, or at least like to the 4.5 level great that that Meltzer gives, is I think Cynthia Moreno could have done a lot more in the match. She's on this current tour, it looks like, and she's very much a lucha high flyer. She mixed very well with Kyoko Inoue, and there's a couple moments there with Yoshida and Takako Inoue as well, but mostly she stuck to The High Flyer in Yoshida, who's on a roll with her springboards, and Kyoko Inoue, who has done a Mexico excursion before. So that was all cool. Mima Shimoda, she's got the little power window gear going on. And Mita is in the full, like, flame screaming. And this is what I'm talking about. Etsuko Mita has definitely, like, taken on the role of Bison Kimura, where she is a shit-kicking powerhouse that kind of towers over various opponents. The difference here is Etsuko Mita, I think, is way better at the little technical game, while Bison Kimura just had a bigger presence and more power to her game. Kyoko Inoue does a 35-second big swing in this match that really pops the crowd. And after 15 just glorious minutes of just nonstop action, it just never stopped, which is very cool. I love the go-go-go style, just filled with energy. Kyoko Inoue finally hits a Niagara driver and pins. Ooh, who did she pin? She pinned, I think she pinned Mita. Ooh. Let's see. Yeah, Mita. Yeah, Mita catches her with a backslide and goes into the Niagara driver. Okay, cool. The next match is the Fuji TV Tag Team Tournament Finals. Aja Kong and Bull Nakano defeat Akira Hokuto and Toshi Yamada. 19 minutes, 30 seconds. This was great. This I give 4.5 because the show that you watch on YouTube had pre- and post-match interviews throughout, and this was fantastic. Aja Kong and Bull Nakano aren't quite friends. They're kind of a little bit away from each other, but they don't, like, hate each other. It's kind of mutual respect at this point. So Bull Nakano's full Megadeth. Aja Kong is full Kong. And then, so they do their thing. They just, I love the interviewer, goes over to Kong, and she just kind of says, "I will kill my enemies," and that's it. It cuts to Hokuto and Yamada, and they aren't having each other. They're pissed off. They have a brawl in the back in the middle of an interview. It's like something straight out of, like, I want to say 1980s main event from WWF. It was really funny. And that's the story of the match. Kong and Nakano get along. They're there to kick ass, take names, throw lariats, throw bombs, beat up their opponents, hit in tandem guillotine leg drops from the top, while Hokuto and Yamada are just at each other's throats the entire time. Hokuto wants to use the stick, had enough of this shit, wants to hurt these bigger people that have caused her a lot of losses over the last couple of years, while Yamada is just continuing this, like, honor roll student gig and is really hurting the team. She's getting in Hokuto's way. There's even a moment here where she rips the sword out of Hokuto and gives her, like, hip tosses and shit. It's like, bro. And ultimately, it leads into some excellent near falls at the end where it always seemed like Hokuto and Yamada were trying to, can they coexist? And eventually they kind of do, and that's when they get a little bit of the advantage, but Bull Nakano and Aja Kong just have... You have no shot against these two. Not when they're on the same page and just obliterating the two of them. So, real cool match. Look, Yamada tried kicking the legs out of her opponents. I think all the matches kind of had just a small submission time in the middle, but the big point is Hokuto and Yamada brawl to the back in the post match while Kong and Bull Nakano get in each other's face and cut promos and sets up the big title match at Dream Rush going after this. Bang, we're there, baby. We've gotten there. August. I don't think the Japan Grand Prix is over yet. So I think this is like a declaration, I will win the Grand Prix. And if I'm mistaken, I'll fix that in time. But the timeline's about this we're about here. Fantastic stuff. And our main event, Minami Toyota, Toshio Yamada, hair versus hair. winner take all. Winner keeps their hair and the IWA world title. So not the most prestigious title, but at this time, it's a little bit higher on the pecking order in importance than the All-Pacific title. But the All-Pacific title does serve a higher purpose over time. But in this window, I think over the next like year and a half, the IWA title, I think, is a little bit higher in the totem pole. So Toshio Namada has just had a like 20-minute four and a half star tag match against the top two in the company and feuding with Akira Hokuto. I read like four reviews of this match and Meltzer's review, and with the exception of Meltzer and what I hear, nobody discusses how Yamada had to come out 5 minutes later and have this match against Toyota with so much stakes on the line. I didn't know that part about this story. I knew about Yamada and Toyota going to multiple time limit draws, going to the match where they had to restart it twice and they still went to a draw, couldn't beat each other, led into the Grand Prix of 92 where Yamada beat Toyota in the first round, which set Toyota off saying, I will put everything I have on the line to try and beat you, Yamada. Great story. I love this. And what we got here was an all-action match, nonstop, with a lot of like All Japan selling, where it's head kicks, drop kicks to the face, hitting Germans, popping up, and then falling down. The good sense of exhaustion. It's there's only a small kind of submission period in the first like 5 minutes, and after that, it's just both these two just trying to hit their key moves and exhausting their opponent to it. It really felt like a... This might sound a little crazy. It doesn't... It definitely has the more energy and pace than a, say, Jumbo Tsuruta-type match from the late 80s, early 90s. But imagine that structure, like that big match All Japan structure with, like, a Jushin Thunder Liger, El Samurai pace. And this is what I got here out of Toyota and Yamada. Obviously, Yamada has a martial arts background, so she's just kicking Toyota over and over again while Toyota results to her dropkick spamming and her suplexes. The Germans and some high flying. Well, Yamada's goal is to keep her on the ground. We saw a lot of this with the Suzuka Minami strategy against Toyota and Hokuto. It was to keep them on the ground because they fly a little bit more. You don't want Hokuto to do her Konhiros off the top and her own version of drop kicks. So Yamada tried something similar with like stretch mufflers, and there was some wheelbarrow holds from Toyota. They're trying to match up, and that wasn't working because that was in a lot of their previous matches. So then the finishing stretch, it's like a good 7-8 minutes of this 20-minute match where it's just, they're just hitting their big moves and they're kicking out. The near falls are incredible. The sense of exhaustion is incredible. I love the selling. It wrote me into the story. Toyota kicks out of multiple Germans, multiple buzzsaw type kicks. Yamada kicks out of the Japanese suplex, Ocean suplex. I think twice, including a couple wild suplexes off the top. And finally, after a rad finishing sequence of Yamada going for a gory bomb, Toyota reverses that. Yamada reverses into another gory bomb attempt. And then Toyota reverses that into a very exhausted-looking Japanese Ocean Cyclone suplex. The JOC finally gets hit and puts Yamada away. Guys, this was incredible. I adore this match. I wholeheartedly agree with all the reviews. Do I think it's better than like the Chigusa Nagayo Devil Masami match? Ooh, that's tough for me to call. That's tough. I'm really going to have to think that. Is it more emotional than the Chigusa Nagayo Dump Matsumoto hair matches? I think it's up there, but it's very different because of the way those two entities were in the 80s. from the match standpoint, it's obviously very different than those three. Chigusa and Dump were brawling. Chigusa and Devil Masami was a power game versus the biggest star in the world, right? While this one had so much innovation and match structure to it. They're three completely different things. And those are just three that come to mind right now. Two to compare to this one. The post-match angle, where would I be? Oh my God, I almost forgot. So Yamada's got to get her hair cut. Toyota is devastated. Now she realizes what she is. Her raven long black hair is all in her face, and she starts cutting her own hair, and the crowd gasps. And Meltzer pointed this out in his review, where in the audience, it's like 90% men at this point in time. And I usually don't like bringing this up to the modern era, but there was a stigma in the 80s, 70s and 80s, with women's wrestling in Japan, where it was only for teenage girls. It was a fad. It was a pop style, right? And then when this new era came in and Nagayo left, the teenage girls left, and what ended up happening was a shift in a hardcore wrestling audience. Now, the common complaint today that people like to bring up specifically with Stardom, even though it's mostly every promotion out there in Joshi, is the common audience is like mid-20s to late-40s men. And Meltzer's live account was, that's what this audience was. So is there like an idol pop culture thing that you have to consider today? Absolutely. Is there a little otaku, maybe hikikomori type culture in there today as well? Yeah, there's some leftovers to all that. I don't think it makes up the majority of the audience anymore that it used to. And especially in the like late 2000s, early 2010s, where it was essentially a survival method to make money. But anyways, getting off track. Point is, this audience was all men, and why that stuck out is because the 10% of women that were left behind were screaming during this entire segment with Toyota and this don't give a shit barber that's here to shave the head of Yamada. He's just like, who's this crazy bitch? Because there's like six people holding Toyota down, keeping her from like stopping the whole action, and Yamada takes this like a champ. This was utterly fantastic. I love the whole angle, the post-match, very emotional. It gets full marks from me. This is one of the best matches of 1993 I've seen, and it's full marks from there.